Does God really provide second chances? Today, we're visiting the village of Tagva. Ein Shiva, it means seven springs. It's on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Tagva is at the foot of the Mount of Beatitudes, and it's about a mile or so away from Capernaum. Now, one of the reasons it's called the Seven Springs are there are several sulfur springs that enter the lake here. And this is an attractant to some of the fish, especially in the winter, and a favorite spot for fishermen, especially from nearby Capernaum. This is a beach that was familiar to Jesus and his disciples over this time period. And nearby, on Tagva Beach stands a church called the Church of the Primacy of St. Peter. Now, this small building is made of black basalt, built in 1934, and it's where Jesus made breakfast for Peter in John chapter 21. Now, the rock that's incorporated inside the church, and it's right in the church floor, is traditionally believed to be the actual place where Jesus prepared breakfast for Peter. So that rock is in the church, and then as you go off to the right, it goes outside the church, and so it's a very, very large rock. Now, it was known to medieval pilgrims as Mensa Christi, and what that means is the table of Christ. Now, there's another church in the neighborhood. It's the Church of Loaves and Fish, and that church is really modern. It was built 35 years ago, and it was built on top of a 4th century Byzantine church, and it commemorates the feeding that Jesus does of 5,000 people. Now, in 381 AD, a Spanish pilgrim named Egeria, she visits the area and she wrote about this area. And this is what she said, "I have found some steps where the Lord stood." She's accredited with finding not only the stone steps, but also with finding the big table rock that we talked about earlier. And she's an interesting person. She's from Spain. She has some money. She's able to tour all through Israel. And as she's doing it, she's going to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And she writes all of this in a journal. And this journal gets published and becomes part of a couple of codexes that we find later on. And she writes it really for a bunch of her girlfriends that she has back in Spain. Now, this journal was written during the reign of Theodosius the Great, the Roman Empire, and Theodosius had decreed churches were essential, and he made Christianity at this time the sole and only religion of the Roman Empire. For the first time since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christians could come out of their home and worshiping in homes and actually gather together in large church settings. And this is the era that began the building of churches, chapels, and cathedrals. This church is not a large or extravagant structure. Rather, it's small and modest. But what happened here between Jesus and Peter was neither small nor modest. To understand the reconciliation and the restoration of Peter, we need to remember the first time they ever met. In Luke chapter 5, they meet together. You see fishermen that are out and having a horrible day. They're not catching anything. Jesus jumps in the boat with Peter and Andrew and directs them on how to fish. And a long story short, they catch a ton of fish. And Peter's response to all of this and seeing Jesus is he falls to his knees and he says this, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So this is a moment Peter recognizes who Jesus is, and he becomes a disciple. The next thing that happens is Peter makes a big claim. And that big claim in Luke chapter 22, verse 33, says this, "Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Now that claim was challenged rather quickly. And we find that Jesus is arrested. And as he is arrested, Peter follows the rest of the crowd in. In Matthew 26, bystanders came up and challenged Peter. And certainly, you too are one of them, for your Galilean accent betrays you. In verse 74, he says this, he began to invoke a curse on himself. And he actually swore and he said, I don't know the man. There's no greater sin than denying Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter does three different times. Well, what happens next is Jesus is crucified, and of course, he rises from the dead. Peter, instead of being where Christ had called him to be, goes back to what he was doing before. He goes back to fishing, and he takes people with him as well. And as they're fishing through the night, things don't work out very well. They don't catch anything. And eventually, through some help, through some divine help, they do catch things. And they realize that the person that helped them through all of this has been the Lord himself. And Jesus had been planning a special meeting in John chapter 21 between himself and Peter. And this meeting was all about reconciliation and restoration. So they eat breakfast together. And when breakfast is done, Jesus looks across the table at Peter and asks him, Peter, do you love me? And he says, of course I love you. And Jesus looks back at him and says, feed my sheep. Two other times, Jesus will ask the same question of Peter. And each time he'll say, yes. He becomes more indignant on the last one. A contrite Peter is forgiven by God. And in God's forgiveness, he reconciles and restores both. He reconciles his relationship with Peter, making them good with one another. And then he restores him to a place of importance in the ministry that Peter was going to do. There was no penalty. There was no sit on the bench for a while. It was get back in the ball game. Go do what I asked you to do before. Be a fisher of men. In John 21, we see something that's so important for our Christian life. We see that our God will forgive us. He'll forgive us if there's contriteness and confession and repentance in our heart. And that forgiveness will reconcile our relationship with him, like just like with Peter. And it will also restore us in ministry. And that's what's happening here for Peter. The same man that denied Christ three times is now a man that is reconciled and restored. And we meet him again in the book of Acts as he leads the church and the expansion of the church all through Israel. So does God provide second chances? I'd say yes. He is the God of second chances.